You're listening to the Teach Them Diligently podcast, where we're all about biblical parenting and excellent home education. For more information and to access show notes and additional resources, visit us at teachthemdiligently.net. Welcome to the Teach Them Diligently podcast. In this episode, Leslie Nunnery is joined by Lori Weldenberg, a licensed parent and family educator, to talk all about the importance of intentional parenting. Leslie and Lori will discuss the three messages that children need to hear: that they are loved and lovable, that they are capable, and that they are born on purpose and with a purpose. Lori emphasizes the importance of communicating these messages to children to reinforce their identity in Christ and to help them navigate life with confidence. She also shares insights from her books. This conversation highlights the significance of intentional parenting in shaping children's lives and fostering their relationship with God. This episode really leans into the focusing on relationships mark of a heart schooler. For by better understanding your kiddos and helping them understand how God created them, you'll find you have a much deeper, richer relationship with them that will only grow stronger in the days to come. Pick up the Heart School book if you're interested in learning more about the Heart School paradigm, where we talk about so much around here. I'm dropping a link in the show notes. Now, won't you join Leslie and Lori for this intentional parenting podcast? Do you want to fight for, not with, the ones you love? I'm excited to introduce a new book, Fighting for Family, by Chris and Julie Bennett. The Bennetts invite you to step into their story of leaving the Oklahoma church Chris had pastored, uprooting their family of six, and moving to Los Angeles, a big adventure made even more complicated by a cancer diagnosis and a worldwide pandemic. Through it all, family was stressful, messy, exhausting, and absolutely, totally worth fighting for. If you're looking for inspiration and strategies to help your family thrive, get your copy of Fighting for Family today. Visit fightingforfamily.org or find it wherever books are sold. I love to share resources that I know will strengthen your family's faith and give you answers to difficult questions that you're likely to face. Recently, I got to preview a film that I am so excited to recommend to you. It's coming to theaters across the U.S. on March 20th and 21st, an epic film on Noah's flood. This film unveils compelling evidence in support of the Bible, including what happened to the dinosaurs? Why do we find soft tissue and blood in their bones today? Why did God send the flood? What are the parallels between the days of Noah and the coming judgment? I learned a lot of things I'd never heard or considered, so I encourage you to mark your calendars for March 20th and 21st and be prepared to experience the Genesis flood like never before. Get your tickets today at noahsflood.com. The theaters are already filling up, and Fathom Events has opened up even more showings, so let's keep the momentum going. Get your ticket today at noahsflood.com. Lori, I am so glad to have you with me today, and I'm really excited. For those who don't know, we have had a hard time connecting because of a number of situations and technical issues. So very excited to have you here today. So welcome to the podcast.
I'm excited to be here, and let's pray that it is a divine appointment.
Amen. Amen. Well, even as I was praying before we started, you know, for those listening in, we have attempted to record this three times now, and I just don't believe that the Lord wastes those opportunities. So I feel like we have learned something, or something has become clearer since we started, that God wants you to hear. So I encourage you to listen in. This is bound to be a really powerful episode of the podcast, right, Lori?
I think it probably will be.
I think so, yes.
So I'm thankful that we serve a God who uses even things that are disappointing, even things that are difficult or frustrating. He is able to pull all of that, work it together for his good, or for our good and his glory. And so I pray that that happens today. Lori, for those who may not know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And I want you also to focus in on, you are a a licensed parent and family educator. And I want to know what that is and how you got there. So as you're telling us your story, weave that in as well, because I want to know what that is.
Sure. So Tom and I met in high school and we started dating in college. And then shortly after college, about a year and a half or so, we ended up getting married. And I'm a teacher by trade. So I went through and taught elementary school for 10 years, 5 years in first grade and 5 years in third. And part of that time, toward the end of that, we started growing our family. And my oldest, we adopted from Columbia, and then I ended up moving to part-time and job sharing so that I could spend more time with my little one, who I was so excited to have. And then we got pregnant the old-fashioned way, you know, had this, our second one, the old-fashioned way, and our son, Jake. And then we moved to San Diego, and we were living in Minnesota at the time, and we moved to San Diego. And in the meantime, had two more kiddos. So they're all very close in age. But as we were raising our oldest daughter, she had some learning disabilities, and I needed to know how to parent her well. And I wanted to be the best mom I could be for her. And I knew, and Tom knew without a shadow of a doubt, that God placed her with us, and we were going to give her the best of us that we could. And so I ended up taking some classes, and the classes that I was taking were from a parent and family educator. And there were other parents there as well. But I remember thinking, wow, that is something I would so love to do, because at this point I was home full time with my kids and very thankful to be able to do that. And I was thinking, gosh, if I could take my love of parenting, which I loved being a mom, always wanted to be a mom, and I was so thrilled to be a mom. My love of parenting and my passion for teaching and for families, and weave that all together with my faith, that would be like a dream come true job. So then we lived in San Diego for 5 years. And then we moved back to Minnesota. And at that time, then I went back and added on to my K through six teaching license and got an additional licensure as a parent and family educator. So it's a little bit different than a parent coach, but pretty similar. You know, there's a lot of similarities. So I guess if you were to think of a parent coach, that would be the closest that you would come to a parent and family educator. So that's what that is.
Well, cool. So you really rely on not only your experience, but also wedding that in. Your experience is going to have a lot to do with what God's word says, but then also bringing in a really a more technical, psychological, scientific, I'm sure all of that is kind of weaved in, because there's so much. Yeah, I think that we downplay in our society the impact of the role of parents to a very, very large degree. And understanding why it's so important to invest in doing your job well as a parent, I think is critically important for just the health of your relationship with your child, but also getting them ready to launch out and be a productive, godly member of society in the future.
Oh, so true. We just sort of do the role by default sometimes, you know, like we fall back to old patterns or things that we grew up with, some good and some not good. And I think to be deliberate, you know, like what you guys, you know, teach them diligently, like we need to be deliberate and diligent in the way that we are raising our kids rather than just sort of flying by the seat of our pants, which sometimes that, you know, sometimes it happens like that too. But I do think that it requires a lot of intentionality and a lot of thought. And you know, I'm very thankful that I was able to really figure out, you know, I mean, Leslie, I kind of came into parenting with a little bit of an arrogance. I was thinking that I would know exactly what to do and how to do it because of my teaching background. And being a teacher is very different than being a mama. And there are certain things that might kind of flow together, But ultimately, you know, when you're raising a child, that's very different than having a child in your classroom for a year. And you're working on character things, not just compliance.
Right, right. Well, and I think that arrogance also shows up because we have very definite ideas a lot of times of what our children are going to be, do, look like, act, speak, etc. And then when we get in the situation and we recognize the children that God gave us aren't these actual cookie cutter. And so we're really truly having to invest and lay aside some of the things that were our expectations because God is so faithful to work in our lives at the same time that he's working through us in our children's lives. And that is one of the great privileges of being a mom or dad is you see how God works in and through you in the role that he's called you to play.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you don't grow up any faster than when God gives you kiddos. And how else are you going to learn really unselfishness? I don't know how else you would really fully grasp what that looks like. And, you know, like I said, I had this arrogance because I thought I knew it all. Well, the Lord sure showed me, and he showed me with the first one right off the bat. And then you discover, you know, they're all so different, right? And you need to parent according to their unique personality. And wow, you know, that it's a great privilege that God gives us to raise kids. And also kids who have a free will, it sort of gives us a little bit of an appreciation for for what the Lord might be thinking sometimes with us and our free will. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and we also, I think that it's a special, I'm going to use the word treat, although it doesn't always feel like that, but it's a special treat that we get to parent children who have a little bit of us, a little bit of our spouse. We get to see kind of in them weaknesses that we know that we have. And so, you know, I define discipleship as leveraging what God has taught me for the sake of another. And so I am able to put everything that God has taught me about my own shortcomings, my flaws, my natural tendencies, leverage that so that my children are able to learn it earlier. Or I'm able to see in them things that maybe in David, and it gives me a better understanding of how to love him well through those. And, you know, just the way that God created family is so wise and so spectacular by design that I celebrate it and I thank God for his wisdom in that.
Oh, yep. And we are perfectly put together. We're not perfect, but we are perfectly put together. And for each one of us to really learn something from the other and really that nothing draws you closer to the Lord too than I think being a parent, because a lot of times that really brings us to our knees and things that we know we can't do it alone. You know, we need God's help and we need his wisdom in order to be the best parent we can be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to really shift and look at some things that you talk about a lot, because I think that they're so helpful, especially as the parents who listen to this podcast really take their job seriously, obviously, because they are intentional, like you noted. They are looking for ways to grow personally so that they can invest that on behalf of their children. And you talk about three messages that children really, really need to hear. So I would love to, for you to elaborate on those messages and help us understand why these things are so crucial for our child's development.
Absolutely. Well, I'll go ahead and name the three elements that I think are really particularly important, and then I'll break it down after that. So our kids need to know that they are loved and lovable. They need to know that they are capable. And they finally need to know that they are born on purpose with a purpose. And each one of those elements is crucial in their development and in their identity and in their faith, and they're just living their life. And this is something that really isn't just reserved for kids. This is something that all human beings need to know. Loved and lovable, capable, and created on purpose for a purpose.
That encapsulates things so, so well. And I want you to break those down for us and help us understand really even situationally how that shows up and how we're able to leverage those things that we're trying to pass on and make sure we're instilling in our kids.
Yes. Well, you know, I sort of assumed that my kids knew that I loved them no matter what, and that they were loved and lovable. And there was a moment with my son when he was probably maybe first grade-ish or so. And he said to me, "Mom, you wouldn't love me anymore if I was arrested, would you?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh." Now, a smart mom would have asked a couple more questions. Why is this on his brain?
Let's dig this in.
Yeah. I was so shocked by what he asked me. I thought, how does he not know that I love him no matter what? But, you know, he was so thinking that my love for him was tied into his behavior and his obedience. And why would I have communicated that? I didn't know I was communicating that. That changed, that made a huge shift in the way that I interacted with my kids, a huge shift, because I realized I can't leave it up to them to guess how I love them. I need to speak it all the time, regularly, often, and articulate that no matter what, I love them no matter what, even in the midst of a disobedient moment. I love them no matter what. My love does not hinge on that. And our kids need to know that not only for security with us, but also security with the Lord. Because once they understand that we can love them that way, it gives them a little better idea of how God loves them. And ultimately, we want our kids to draw close to the Lord as well. So they really need to know that they are loved and lovable. I think that's the most critical thing to start with.
Yeah. And as you were talking, I was even thinking, David talks a lot about gratitude and how the specifics, as you rehearse these specific things that you're grateful for, it grows your appreciation for that thing. Well, that's one of the ways to really instill in your child why they're lovable and why they are loved. You're able to pick out very specific things that you're grateful for, that you love about them, stuff that they may not even recognize in themselves. And it just really changes the way that they view those things, but also the way that they're viewing how they are appearing to others. It's a very, very powerful practice.
Boy, and the idea of speaking specifically is really important. You know, I love how you were so generous with your sister today. That is a wonderful quality, generosity in you. You know, things like that, to be very specific, so that they know you're just not saying it on the fly, that it is something, and not that they have to earn it or that they even have to have a particular quality. I mean, we love them just because they're created, just because, you know. But I think it's really important to call out those specific things. And that really leads us into the next one, that they are capable. And our kids need to know that God has gifted them with natural abilities and talents. As they become believers, he will also give them spiritual gifts. So they are gifted. And also, he's given each one of them a brain so that they can learn. And no one is gifted with everything. And no one is gifted to be perfect. But we are gifted perfectly. And our kids, again, you know, there's so much pressure that they're supposed to be everything, right? They're supposed to excel in every single area. Well, let me tell you, I barely made it through math, high school math. But you know what? It didn't ruin my adult life. And I married a guy that is an accountant, so I'm good to go.
You don't have to worry about it anymore.
No. You know, just because you're not great in one area, that's okay, because God's given you something else that is really special. And then you learn to rely on other people too. It's not all about you having to do everything perfectly. And I see so many parents stressing out because their kids got, you know, a low grade in a particular subject, but they're not going to be the best of the best at everything. And that's okay. That's okay. If they're giving their best effort, they're still learning. And they've got something else that God has for them, because we're also created to work. It's a joy to work, right? And so they are capable, and to articulate that. I have a little story about that if we have a moment for me to tell it.
I would love it.
Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
So there was one evening, we live in Colorado, where our oldest, the one that I was speaking about, where she brought me to, she's the one that got me going to these parenting classes. She was working, and the place that she was working was about 25 minutes away from our home. And we were having a great big snowstorm. So Tom and I, we were laying in bed and we were thinking, gosh, you know, it's going to be tough for her to get home. You know, we're kind of worried about her. And then we got a phone call, came on my cell phone, and she's like, Mom, I was scraping my windshield and the wiper came off. And, you know, you need your wipers in a snowstorm. You have to have it or you can't see. And I could just feel this panic go over me. And then I thought, okay, that's not going to help her. I mean, thank goodness God shut my mouth with my fear, because I had a lot of it. And he let me know, don't express that. And so I said to her, okay, Courtney, here's the deal. You are mechanically minded, i.e. you are capable, right? You are mechanically minded and you are able to fix this. I want you to go in your glove compartment and get the instructions, get your manual out, open it up and find out how to reattach that wiper. And I want you to call us back when you've got it on. So I hung up the phone and I look at Tom and I'm like, she's never going to be able to do that. But I didn't commute.
Don't listen, Courtney. Right? Don't listen.
I didn't communicate that to her. Praise God. Good. Oh my goodness. And we were so worried, but we knew if we were to get in the car and go there, it would take us easily an hour to get there. She'd be outside. So our best thought was we pray and we hope that she gets this thing back on. Well, probably less than 10 minutes passed. And my phone rang and it was Courtney. She goes, Mom, I did it. I got the wiper on. Yay. And she did it. And she was capable. And she is mechanically minded. So when we can express confidence in our kids and in their God-given abilities, again, being specific is so important. So being capable and knowing that, you know, God has gifted them, I think is the second thing that is really important for us to communicate to our kids.
Well, yeah. And when you do that, you know, that changes the way that they see those situations going forward. You know, if she finds herself in a mechanical situation the next time, she's going to go back to, okay, I conquered this. I can conquer this one too. You know, that's, you are giving them the confidence to try something new and bigger and to keep growing because they've been able to achieve that thing. And I think that that's a really important element of this. As we are preparing our kids, we're also giving them those tools to lean back on and to, you know, kind of look back. I succeeded here. I can succeed in this situation as well.
That's so good. I hadn't thought of it like that. But yes, the layering is so important. And you're right, because it was like a year or two later, she had to change a flat tire.
This is nothing.
So yeah, yeah, I got that wiper on. I can change a flat tire.
Just lift this car up myself.
Oh my gosh, I hadn't connected that, but you're exactly right. It's the layering. That's really good.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, so your third thing, I'm sitting here waiting with bated breaths.
So created on purpose for a purpose, and each one of us is. And I think it's so important in the kingdom for us to recognize that. And sometimes our purpose might shift a little bit, but typically our passions remain the same. So if you're trying to help your kiddo figure out what are they passionate about, then they can find perhaps their purpose. And sometimes a purpose is for a specific time. And sometimes it's for a longer time. But passions typically remain the same. So I can think of my son. When growing up, he was very passionate about sports and he was passionate about his faith. And as he was growing up, he said, you know, I want to be a football player and a pastor, but I don't know what I'm going to do because they both work on Sunday.
And there's a collision there.
Yeah. But over the years, he didn't end up becoming a pastor and he didn't end up becoming a pro football player, but he still enjoys sports. He's passing sports along down to his son and he's in a men's Bible study. So those passions remain the same, but his purpose has shifted to some degree. So I think it's really important as parents for us to be able to let our kids know that their life matters, that their purpose is to take those passions and those natural skills and abilities and those capabilities that God has given us and use those often for someone else. And typically the passion and the purpose is to be used in community and to be used for someone else. And I think it's great when our kids can start to understand that, yeah, you know, this is being a human being. It's kind of a team sport, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you've alluded to this a couple of times, but before we run out of time for you to actually lay this out for us a little bit more, all of these things, the fact that they are loved and lovable, the fact that they are capable, the fact that they are born on purpose, with a purpose. These things are very, very valuable for them in relationship with us, but they also really go a long way in reinforcing and cementing their identity in Christ. And I want you to really break that out for us. Again, I know you've alluded to it several times, but that's such a key component to this that actually so many, even adults, struggle with just their identity in Christ. And this is a very practical, very tangible way that we can help our children be really cemented in theirs. So connect those dots for everybody listening in.
Yeah, the belonging piece, which of course is the loved and lovable part, that's really the place to start. And when they know that they are so loved they were worth dying for. They are so loved, loved so big that they are part of God's family. And to be able to embrace that so that they don't maybe step off the path and look for some place else to find belonging or loving or identity. That knowing they are loved and lovable as they are, and of course, you know, we are to really reflect Christ too. So it's, yes, as we are, but then you don't stop there, right? Because we're all growing in our character traits and we're all trying to, you know, look more like Jesus, reflect Jesus. And when we can see that, that's sort of, we want to be that light. And that's part of being in God's kingdom, being part of that family, being in the kingdom to reflect God's light and to draw other people into that family. To know that is huge because if you don't know that, you're going to find it somewhere else. And that might not be the thing that God has for you. It probably won't be. And that is the crux of why a lot of people wander from the faith, because they don't understand that they are part of course, you have, we're all created by God, right? But to be God's child, you need to also love him like a father too. So to be part of his kingdom, once you're in that family, that makes all the difference in the world. And that's the thing that you can grab your identity from, being part of that group and reflecting Christ. So that's how you do that. And then it just naturally flows that the gifts and the skills that God has given you, ultimately, you will use those to draw people to the Lord. Now, you don't have to be a pastor. You can be a football player, right? And draw people to the Lord. You don't have to be a pastor. And so those gifts and skills that God has given us, He wants us to use those out in the world because we might not be of the world, but we are in it. And we want to reflect him. So again, basically a team sport. You know, we're working together. We're the hands and feet, and all of us have different abilities and skills that will help us draw people ultimately to the Lord. That is the ultimate thing. And then, of course, just the purpose, you know, which ties into all of that, drawing people back to the Lord.
Well, and I love how you really tied down. If you don't truly understand your identity and the fact your identity is inherently tied to the fact that you are in Christ, as a Christ follower, that envelops everything. But if you don't understand that, then you are going to find it somewhere else. Our kids, and you see this all over the place, they are looking in all of these different places to find some kind of a semblance of identity. And it's so shallow and so wrong that it leaves them empty and wasted. And, you know, we have the truth. We have that rock solid foundation that we can pass on to them. And we as parents have the opportunity and the time and the platform with our kids to do just that. And the power of giving them that identity cannot be overstated.
Oh, yes. And speaking truth, you mentioned that. We have to do that all the time. The truth is they were born, what, a girl or a boy? That's the truth. And God will work through them accordingly because he's the creator and the creator is in charge of the creation. So speaking that truth, and just because you are a girl who is mechanically minded doesn't mean you were supposed to be a boy. How powerful to be a girl who's mechanically minded. That's amazing. That's a good thing. How powerful to be a boy who has a tender, sensitive heart. That's important. We need to get rid of these stereotypes of this is the box a boy has to fit into, and this is a box a girl has to fit into, because God created us with these specific tendencies, with these specific abilities and skills in the body that he gave us. So we don't need to change that. We don't need to change that at all. We are exactly who we are supposed to be, created on purpose.
On purpose with a purpose. I love that. I love that. Well, Lori, we are getting very low on time, but I want you to tell everybody about your ministry and about the books that you've written because they're so helpful. I want to make sure that we're pointing people to where they can find them and that they know about them.
Sure. Well, all of my books are parent and family oriented. And so one of the things that we were talking about today, a lot of it goes back to the book, The Messy Life of Parenting, Powerful and Practical Ways to Strengthen Family Connections. And that is all about interdependency because we live in this very independent Western mindset. And I think what we mean to say is we want our kids to be responsible. We want them to take ownership of their behavior, of their, you know, of their words, of their thoughts. They need to own that. That's responsibility. But we want interdependence, and that's how we are created. And what we want to do is really work toward interdependence in the family so that we can rejoice with one another, mourn with one another, help each other, and just navigate life together. And then also be dependent upon the Lord. So that is what that book is about. And I think it's a really important one. There are other books. Messy Hope is about preventing depression or anxiety. And also not just preventing, but what do you do if your kiddos are in the middle of that? And it's more than resiliency. Resiliency is important, but it also camps on hope. And hope is a spiritual thing. And that is something that that will help us bounce forward, not just bounce back. And then there's also Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. If you happen to have someone who stepped off that expected path, I would encourage you to get that book. It's really a great book to build that bridge. And I have other books as well. You can go to my website, LoriWildenberg.com, and maybe we could put that in the show notes.
Yep, absolutely.
And then you can also find my books on any online store. So, or even in your brick and mortar stores, if they're not on the shelves, they can certainly order them.
Gotcha. Well, Lori, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really helpful, and I'm very grateful that you spent your time with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Leslie.
Well, it has been a pleasure. And to the rest of you, thank you for joining us today. I am confident that what you have heard has been really, really helpful. And I hope that it's given you a lot to think about. You know, as we are going for the hearts of our children, as we are so intentional in shepherding them towards understanding who they are in Jesus and who they are created to be with a purpose, for a purpose, we are able to help them understand that they are loved and lovable. They are capable, that God makes no mistakes with the entirety of how he created them. But we're also, as we pray for insight into their hearts, we're also able to help them grow into those strengths or overcome some of their weaknesses so that God can use even those things. And so as a parent, we have the most amazing opportunity to help our children grow and become exactly who God has created them to be. And that is such a high calling and such a privilege that I hope that you never, ever take it for granted. So it is a joy to be able to walk alongside you each week to hopefully encourage your heart and challenge the way that you're thinking about the mission that God has given you all this year in Teach Them Diligently. We're talking about how our mission is greater. We'll be really culminating that at our events. But the mission that God has given you is greater than all of these little things, the tools. It's even greater than the tool of homeschooling that so many of us employ, because your mission is to parent your children well, to bring them to Jesus, and to help them understand who they are in him. That mission will impact generations to come. And so I thank you for joining us today. I hope that as you go out from here, you are challenged and you really start looking at the conversations that you're having and the opportunities that you have with your kids in a very fresh new way. Be sure you check the show notes. We have links to all of Lori's resources. There's also links to our events, to Teach Them Diligently 365, to the Heart School book, and so much more. So be sure you check that out, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you found this episode to be very practical and encouraging, and that you've got some great takeaways to start implementing in your heart school right away. Go to teachthemdiligently.net/podcast to catch up on all the episodes and to learn more about the other resources and experiences Teach Them Diligently offers families like yours. Subscribing and leaving a rating and review for the Teach Them Diligently podcast is a very practical way you can join in our ministry of encouraging Christian homeschool families around the country. Would you take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and a few sentences of review? It would mean the world to us if you would. Thanks in advance for your kindness, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.